structure.
Yeah,
at least that's the good connotation.
Yeah, muckrakers used to be a dirty term, but probably just from people who didn't want their muck raked.
Yeah, that was from the Rockefeller Republicans who didn't want those lower classes exposing the truth.
Yeah, the truth. Yep.
The truth.
Speaking of the Rockefeller Republican, yeah, and like, what do we have in here? The Fox News, then the Onion News, and then the Fiends News. So it's the unfunny real fake news, and then the funny fake real news, and then the funny real news. That's us.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to keep track of all of that in my head.
You know,
but it's Fox Onion Fiends. FOF.
So something Scott Horton turned me on to was the fact that the Rockefellers, the uber right-wing industrialists, billionaires, Mr. Burns's, have been financing like every left-wing group around for decades to like create controversy.
And did we ever figure out why we were talking about that? But is it just a tax write-off, or is there some kind of weird ulterior motive?
There's some weird ulterior motive. I mean, I noticed that when I was researching funding on my first movie and writing my book, $30 Film School. I was looking for, like, you know, companies that there's people that give money to artists, you know, and it's not just governments. Yeah. It's like private organizations. And someone actually gave me some organization. I can't remember the name of some industrialists gave me $5,000 for my DIY or Die movie. And when I was researching that, I was going to this place in San Francisco that had a list of, it was like a little library for foundations for, you know,
people list of free money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they even had a place for it, you know. It wasn't even a website. It was like you go there and do the research. And it was a bunch of right-wing organizations giving money to any, you know, like you'd be more likely to get your movie funded if it was about like left-handed lesbian single mothers from Lithuania who are transgendered living homelessly in San Francisco.
There's got to be some kind of tax loophole they're going for. I don't know if that's the whole story, but
well, they get tax
I think that's
write-offs.
How they justify it to the stockholders.
No, they could get tax write-offs for doing the same thing to right-wing organizations, but they're funding left-wing organizations. I doubt they would fund a libertarian organization because they're just muckraking the whole man
right.
behind the,
well, see, maybe that's it then. Maybe as long as it's statist. They figure they don't care one way or the other. If it's statist and authoritarian, that's all they really care about.
Because
that's the real divide, and they must know that.
They want it statist, but they only fund left-wing stuff. They really do. I don't know what it is, man. I think they just want to create more divide.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Keep up the pro wrestling feel, the whole thing, like there's really two alternatives and we're really passionate about these two things, when really the source of the debate or the range of the debate is just between Mitch McConnell and Hillary Clinton. I mean, that's as far as they let you go, as Tom Woods would say.
Speaking of Hillary Clinton, you know what I found out that blew my mind?
What?
You know who started the Obama birther BS? That was started by Hillary supporters when she was running against Obama, and then she dropped out, and then the Republicans ran with it. Yeah, it was anonymous. I mean, it could have been a false flag again. You never know. But it was people in support of Hillary sending out anonymous mass emails.
Yeah, yeah. See, I don't know. It just never piqued my interest. I really don't care where somebody was born. I more care about what they're doing to take my freedoms away on a daily basis. I mean, if Obama was born in Kansas and he's taking away the same amount of freedoms as if he was born in Kenya or wherever, I don't care. I mean, the fact of the matter is I care more about my freedoms being taken than where the mugger is from, you know?
I know. I think he was born in Hawaii, which I think we just lost like 4 of our viewers because I know somebody said that they didn't like someone that we recommended because they were not birthers, but that's my guess.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I can kind of get on board with hating on Obama, but I just feel like people should have the right reasons for not liking the president. And if you get off on these sort of silly sidetracks and you're not really principled, then you're easily cowed. Then you're the kind of person that's probably going to vote for Romney or vote for Santorum or think that once a Republican's in the White House, then, you know, indefinitely detaining people, hey, that's A-okay because it's conservative status doing it. You know, it's like that Lawrence Vance quote that all conservatives really want is a more efficient police state run by conservatives.
Speaking of the truth in news, I keep running across, you know, I'm watching Adam 12. I'm watching all seven seasons of it. It's the state. It's the hilariously funny statism indoctrination show from my youth that was fiercely popular and was co-produced by the Los Angeles Police Department to like indoctrinate mm-hmm. you. And there's all these right, like right. morality play lessons in it. Like, you know, they teach you to call the cops. They teach you to snitch. They teach you not to have a gun. You know, if you have a gun, something bad will happen. They teach you the police are here to help you. They're heroic. And then they came out with another one called Emergency, which was like a spinoff, which was ER kind of stuff or EMT stuff. And it's like those two shows were basically the pay your tax hour, you know.
right, right. But they buy this, war bonds. Yeah, ration your meat.
This thing that kept coming up was in the last few episodes was underground newspapers. Like somebody stole a printing press and they were counterfeiting, but they were also publishing an underground newspaper. And then there was this one like the cops pulled this guy over and his like 12-year-old son was mouthing off to the cops and calling them pigs. And the dad's like, I'm sorry, officers. My son's been reading too many underground newspapers. And I was thinking like Freedom Fiends are the underground newspapers of the millennium. Podcasts are the underground newspapers of the millennium.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Blogs, Lou Rockwell, anti-war, Liberty Radio Network.
Just us.
Okay, yeah. Fine. We're not going to share the shine, huh, Michael?
Well, you were asking, yeah, yeah, F everyone except us. You were asking me if I was starting to pod beef. Because I wanted to talk about the comments on the Stefan Molyneux interview that I did. It's funny, and I'm not beefing with him. I'm beefing with some of his minions. They're funny, man. They're funny. And, I mean, there's comments in there. First of all, that are like. If you look at the comments of the same interview on my Anarchy Gumbo podcast, you know, it's the Fiends fans and they're all like, man, you schooled Stefan. You schooled him in that thing about BDSM. And if you look at it on YouTube where he posted it, it's like, man, that was creepy when that guy started talking about BDSM. I'm glad Stefan schooled him.
Yeah, yeah. It was funny stuff. They were like, man, I wonder if you asked him to go surfing after the podcast.
I know.
Like you're some kind of California dude.
Man, like I'm Spicoli worms. Or something. Worms. Yeah. Yeah, and one of my favorite ones was like, you know, it's really disconcerting when you're listening to one of the greatest philosophers who's ever lived and you want the interviewer to say something cogent after the philosopher drops mad science and then the interviewer just says, worms. I don't get it. Worms? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was reminding me of the Paul Bonneau thing where, you know, sometimes – and there's room in the Liberty Movement for all of this. But sometimes instead of debating philosophy or listening to the ideas of old philosophers – and I'm not saying that Stefan Molyneux is one. But sometimes it's just about, man, leave me alone, you know, from the street level, from the average yeah. person level. Yeah. I mean that's really where we need to get it because, you know, listening to hardcore philosophy – and all that, it's great, and I think it's really important. But I think it's more important to get the average person to understand these kinds of things. As you don't need to have well-reasoned philosophy. I mean, it's really important to start and use that as a starting place. But in the end, what we got to get people to realize is, why do you want somebody else telling you what to do? Because that's basically what it boils down to.
It really, I mean, liberty boils down to two things. And this is Richard Mayberry, is that his name? I mean, he said it really well. It's like liberty boils down to, you know, don't hit other people, like everything you learn in kindergarten, and then keep your word. That's all yeah. you need to know. And everything else is just fancy ways of saying it. And I'm pretty amazed how many like rock star philosophers are not gun people, you know, and I'm asking everybody that comes on the gumbo, you like guns? And they're like, well, I don't really think they're necessary.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, we didn't even give out the number. Okay, so please call us. This is a call-in show, even though it might not seem like it yet. 307-215-5171. Freedom Fiends, live.
Yeah, I forgot. It was your job there, Nima Vidal.
That's my job. My bad.
Worms, 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 worms. Wars.
Hi, I'm Nima Vidati from the Freedom
Hey,
Kings
it's our
podcast,
ad.
Hey, it's
I'm
you.
Excited about Vaporsmith's yeah. electronic cigarettes.
Yeah.
I dig the taste, and I dig the freedom to vape anywhere the nanny standards
anywhere.
Would wet their pants if I smoked.
Anywhere.
Vaporsmith.com is That's run funny, by man. A liberty-loving entrepreneur, not some subsidized tax eater conglomerate.
I feel like Bad Quaker almost delves into that sometimes. Vaporsmith. He's always hating on Walter
I
Block.
Three packs of tobacco cigarettes a day for
He
decades,
says he's gotten in lots of physical fights in his life.
I love the flavors.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
That's
like
a bad Quaker. I like it.
So he's a bad Quaker.
I like it.
And treats for my kitties.
Yeah,
available
makes it interesting.
Available in 4 strengths and 10 delicious flavors. Reds, all right. Classics, Turkish,
so
menthol,
did you see this,
strawberry, cherry, vanilla.
Some of these comments
coffee,
on Stefan, I don't know. Maybe we'll talk about this more on the Wednesday cast if we have a lot of other stuff to talk about. But some of these are hilarious. Like, Stefan, your brain is the most precious matter in the universe.
Vaporsmith. I didn't see that one.
There's a bunch of comments like that, man.
Are you on any medications?
No,
are you getting
I'd
your
like
meds
to be.
At a local pharmacy? If you are, you're likely paying more than you have to.
Am I half the fiends here? All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Can you hear me
so,
now?
I can hear you now. Let's start off with the call-in number this time. This is a live call-in show, so you can call us on our Skype line, which also has a landline tied to it. That's 307-215-5171. We wanted it to spell something, but we can't even do that after the fact, because apparently one doesn't have any letters attached to it.
Well,
but
Wyoming has again, so few people that, like, you know, there were so few calls available that, you know, I think it is.
You figured
like,
that mean there would be more numbers available.
Yeah,
then,
but
right?
There's only one area code for a giant area, and I think everyone that lives here has like 3 phones and 2 pagers, because when you're working out in the field, it's hard to get some places without the other company's phone.
Yeah, yeah. People probably give cell phones to their dogs. People used to tell me there were like 4 times as many dogs in Wyoming as there were people, because everyone has multiple dogs.
They all have their own cell phone, too.
Yes. Yep. So, Michael, we talked a couple casts ago and during some shows about Sweden trying to be ahead of the game and get rid of cash and have everything be, you know, all transactions be electronic and trackable. But I think we were missing the real target here. Apparently, Italy has been way ahead of everybody. They've actually already banned cash, and now they are having this ad campaign to get rid of or to make tax evaders feel like they're bad people, comparing them, get this, to parasites.
That's the
now,
parasite
how backwards
calling the,
is that?
That's the parasite calling the bug parasitic.
The host a parasite.
There you go. That's the parasite calling the host parasitic.
Yes, it is completely ridiculous. And it's getting more and more ridiculous, apparently, by the day. They've been their tax service, Italy's Internal Revenue Service, according
service.
To the New York Times.
Service. What service?
Yeah, quote-unquote service. Yeah, exactly. The service of stealing money. They've been going into restaurants, shaking people down, checking the records, even stopping people that drive nice cars like Ferraris, Lamborghinis, you know, all those Italian-made sports cars, stopping them and then using that as an excuse to check their income records and seeing if those people have reported enough income to afford such a nice car.
You know, if I were some Italian billionaire, what I would do is I would go to some place that nobody wants to be, like Somalia, and just say, look, we're going to move a bunch of, you know, we'd like to move a bunch of rich businessmen here to totally improve your economy. If y'all don't shoot us, but don't tax us, we'll do it. Make
well,
Somalia the libertarian paradise that the haters always say. Yeah, if you want to live in a libertarian paradise, go live there, which is specious.
Well, yeah, that's completely a ridiculous argument, and Scott Horton always tears that down, saying, really, is it a libertarian paradise to have Dick Cheney and George Bush bombing your country and sending the JSOC in there to rile up the warlords? Because that's not libertarian paradise.
I like the title of this Stefan Molyneux video. It's something like, most people, or something like, why most people are more willing to give away half their money at the barrel of a gun and send their children off to die than they are willing to even discuss the possibility of how roads would work in absence of a government.
Does he come up with an answer over the course of that video?
I don't know. I didn't see it. I don't have the attention span. But one of his fans did say, Stefan, your brain is the most precious thing in the universe.
His brain is pretty awesome. I
but,
don't know
yeah,
about the most
but,
precious thing
but the,
in the universe.
The amount of devotion of some of his fans kind of blows me away. If you don't love Stefan Molyneux, you are wrong. That's another one. And dude, am I listening to this weird dude talk about his effed up sex life? What's going on here? This is awkward. And just when I thought you couldn't bring me to tears anymore, you go and say this, Stefan, your brain is the most precious matter in the universe. Okay, enough of the rap beef. I'm not beefing with him. I'm beefing with his weird fans that hate me and love everything that he says. When our fans are the opposite, it's weird.
I think we got a call there. Was that a call?
No, that was a contact request. Wait, we were going to get off on Stefan Molyneux.
All right. I don't know, man. We were talking about Italian fascists. Stefan Molyneux is like the opposite of that.
I know. He's a French, Canadian, American, English. No, he's not American.
Anarchist.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, these crazy Italians, man. And the thing about it is they're doing it under the guise of improving the economy. And well, I don't understand how they expect people being scared about that stuff.
You missed the biggest part of this whole headline. You left out the biggest part of this headline. Wasn't it Italy outlaws cash transactions?
I mentioned the cash transactions. That's the first thing I mentioned. The headline is actually Italy intensifies its all-out war on tax evaders.
But didn't they make it so, like, are they getting rid of cash? Like, everything has to be on plastic?
Yeah. Well, that's not the headline in the article, but it says Italy has already banned cash.
That's the headline to me because I didn't know that. And all countries try to make it sound like tax avoidance is immoral, you know, not to this degree. But I didn't know they'd outlawed cash. I mean, that's weird. That's just going to make a huge black market.
Yeah, which is, again, a good example of how when the government tries to do something, they get the opposite result usually. When you try to use force and violence as your main way of getting your way, the exact opposite's going to happen. I mean, on a microcosm, look at a husband trying to beat his wife to keep her from leaving him. She's going to leave him eventually. It's just obvious. Violence always has negative outcomes. That's why we need to have a society based on the non-aggression principle.
I know. Italy's beating their citizens, basically, with this.
Literally stealing from them and scaring them. And because it was a New York Times article, you know, it doesn't even play it down the middle. It kind of plays it on the, you know, they use this, for example, they say Italian officials say that an estimated $150 billion are lost each year in undeclared income.
I love that lost. That the lefties in America always use that too. Like, money is lost by not taxing the people who are already paying most of the tax even more.
Right. Exactly. But really, if you think about it with logic, the money is lost by the people who pay the tax. The money's lost by the people who are actually working to make the money. They're the ones losing whenever the government taxes. Not the government losing whenever people find ways to get around the evil theft that governments impose on them.
You know, I heard the other day that Austin is the number one city for people paying their taxes late or really, you know, like up like on the 15th or way late.
Really?
Yeah. It's the biggest tax procrastinator city in the country.
Yeah. Well, Austin's probably just the biggest procrastinator city in the country anyway.
Keep Austin weird.
So I don't know if that's a result of their innate aversion to paying taxes. It's more like their innate aversion to not doing stuff.
You know, there's another new podcast on the LRNs from Austin now. It's, what's it called? It's John Bush with Rise Up Radio. He was one of those, like, pirate guys back in the day, like Scott Horton on the weirdo radio station, whatever it was called there, Anarchy.
Chaos Radio.
Chaos, yeah.
Yep.
He's the guy, there's a really good video of him on YouTube of him, like, challenging his city hall over property taxes.
Nice.
It's really, he's a good guy.
Yeah, I'll have to
look
him up with him.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah. Well, he used to be a part, and I don't know if he still is, of a... Oh, it's time for the break. Okay.
Well, you can talk
we'll get
out
back
the break.
To you after this.
Talk out the break. Worms.
Well, there's this group called Texans for Accountable Government, and me and my wife used to go to a few meetings of them back before I left for Wyoming. And good crew over there, man.
Survivalgearbags.com is run by someone who believes in and adheres to the non-aggression principle. Survivalgearbags.com's main focus is to help you build your own custom
imported for having an outstanding freedom website. Write us at fff at
did you hear the Stefan Molyneux cast?
Subscription to our monthly journal of Libertarian
Essays. Yes, I did. Do you have comments about the BDSM thing? Because I need someone in my corner on that. Because people are saying I'm wrong. BDSM's bad. Stefan was right.
In a recent column, that's fff at fff.org.
I mean, if you don't have something else to talk about,
state are threatening your freedom. Become a free agent.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to talk about there.
Google FR33 to get connected.
Well,
let's let Shane pick a topic.
No, let me pick his topic. Let me pull him into my rap beat.
Costs nothing to rally others to your cause.
Well, because I know he's a practitioner of that, and I'm curious about his thoughts of, you know, someone saying, well, prominent psychiatrists say that you should go to therapy.
Free agents who work to achieve a free society can receive points for various activities, which can be redeemed for gear.
And you weren't cured of your desire for BDSM?
Be equipped with FR33 gear.
You can talk about whatever you want to talk about. You just said you didn't have anything to talk about, or you didn't know what to talk about.
Can get the valuable support.
No, I just took the day off so I could call in.
Going to fail. So get off lines and join other free
agents. Your day off from what?
Lines of freedom today by visiting FR33.
Usually I work Sunday nights, so
that's FR33agents.com.
I own a restaurant.
Nice.
Awesome.
You're looking for some real estate.
What kind of food do y'all do?
Really chicken.
It's chicken. Awesome.
KFC.
Oh, you work.
Oh, okay. Dig it.
Wait, should we edit that?
You know
part
what
out?
I really love? I really love the double down, man. I get like a week for lunch.
Should we edit that part out?
No, I don't care.
Okay.
Now that you've found the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.fm, you may want to help expose others to our great programs.
Chicken.
To assist you in doing
chicken
so,
do they tell you what's in the secret sauce? The secret sauce, or they just send it to you?
Including details on how to get a free bumper sticker, quarter-page flyers you can print out, and distribute
and they mix
banners
it
for your website,
places, so
as well as files
really
that will allow you to make your own
kind
custom banners.
Kind of like how they set off the
visit
bomb. There's like two guys with revolvers sitting at different buttons or something.
Liberty Radio Network.
Yep.
That's promote.lrn.
That's I like that idea for the chicken.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can
read.
You
know, she's the newscaster.
Police were eaten by bears while
raiding
marijuana farm.
My father-in-law lives. Like, he watches her on the news at night.
What's the problem?
Yep, yep.
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you got to keep you and your gat intact.
Are we on after this ad?
Freedom.
Probably.
A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadavi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
UConn.
You're listening to the best liberty-oriented audio streamed around the clock, on the air, and online.
Speak.
This is the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
Nima's dog is an anarchist. He's trying to get it to speak, and it's like, no, I don't feel like
it. Nah, he's just looking at me like, are you going to give me some food? I'll speak for food.
Charlie
we'll
was,
dance for dinner.
Charlie Cat was snoring a minute ago. I had to get up and poke her and wake her up because she's in the room with me snoring so loud the mic would pick it up. We're back.
Throw her ass out. Yeah, this is not the Kitty Cat podcast. That's your other one.
Yeah, we got a caller here. Shane, how you doing?
I'm good.
Where are you calling from?
Black River Falls, Wisconsin.
Cool. What do you got to say today?
I don't know. I just took a day off. Decided to call in.
Nice. Nice. Have you been outside today? Is it nice there? It's nice here.
It's real nice.
So what's your...
I had the bike out for a while.
So what's your topic? You had a topic there?
No, I didn't have a topic.
Well, what do you think,
I think Michael had a topic for
What
you.
Do you think about Stefan Molyneux and his fans bashing BDSM?
I don't think they should.
Why? Are you a practitioner?
Yes, I am.
Are you sick in the head and in needing of therapy?
I've had therapy. I'm not sick in the head.
So you've had therapy and they didn't cure you of wanting to have slappy sex?
No, they did not.
I'm curious. I want to know what the therapist said about it, though. Did the therapist take the same line of, well, you were probably abused as a child and this is something we need to work out? Or were they more like, well, if that's what you're into, go for it?
They started out with the you were abused as a child thing, but they found out that I wasn't.
Uh-huh.
And then they were like, well, I guess that's how you are.
Hmm. Yeah, okay. How you're wired, huh? That's how you're born.
Exactly.
Yeah, people Perfect. Don't get Perfect. That. People don't get that. Yep.
I guess my thing is when it comes to the bedroom, I mean, whatever you want to do, as long as it's consensual, right? I mean, if you want to pour hot chocolate all over yourself and shoot whipped cream up your butt, then go for it. And I know that's probably not BDSM, but I'm just saying, whatever you want
to
do.
It could be, and it's kind of two interesting things to randomly come up with. Are you speaking from experience there, Mr. Gennady?
No comment.
So, I mean, my thing about therapy is, you know, when people say, well, therapists say, first of all, therapists are book learning, and we're talking here from real life experience. And, you know, it's not just me or my wife. It's like I've talked to scores of people about this. And also therapists, you know, there is a value to therapy. But I think, first of all, a lot of it seems very state centric.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, think about all the kids that they put on drugs now and you know, try to like use therapy to punish people. And they pretty much consider libertarianism a disorder, you know, what is it? Oppositional defiant disorder.
Yeah, what that whole fake ad for Compliason was about.
Yeah, but it's a real thing, and it's considered, you know, it's a disorder. And it basically, if you look at the symptoms of it, it's basically just you effing hate authority, and you hate someone trying to oppress you and put thing, you know, force you to do stuff.
Force you to shoot whipped cream up your butt. see, if it's forced, then it's no good.
Yeah.
Unless you're into that. I don't know, man.
Unless you agree to let someone force you to do it, then it's not really
forced. There you go. There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
So, plus, I mean, the Soviets, I mean, wasn't that half their thing of throwing people into the gulags? Was they had state psychiatrists that would say, well, this person is unfit for the collective, or they need to be re-educated, and things like that. I mean, psychology and psychiatry have a long history of being basically the power structure or people in society that have certain ideas of the way people should work and using that as a tool. To yeah. sort of call the masses.
And, you know, generally most therapists, I mean, I've been to three or four therapists through my life and read a lot of what current psychology believes. And I'm not dismissing it outright, but I'm pointing out some, like, I'm surprised Stefan Molyneux jumps to, hey, well, therapy says, you know, because, I mean, his wife is a therapist, so it makes sense that he would back therapy. But, a lot of therapists think if you have a lot of guns or you're really into weapons, there's something wrong with you and that needs dealing with. And therapists also think that spending a lot of time on the computer is a disorder. So if you spend all your time listening to Stefan Molyneux, you've got a disorder. You've got internet addiction.
Well, the gun thing reminds me of I was actually reading The Probability Brooch by L. Neil Smith.
Excellent.
And there's a bit in there where the person from the statist world is – you know, sort of taking people to task for all of them having guns and saying, comparing it, you know, Freud said guns are like your penis. And then the girl's like, well, if you want to take everybody's guns away, then is that like you saying you want to take everybody's penis away?
Yeah. You know, Scott Beiser, who is the illustrator of those, posted on this Stefan Molyneux thread saying Stefan Molyneux was brilliant, saying he spoke for all the voluntarist dads out there.
Molyneux is brilliant, though, so yeah, I can't really argue with that.
He is. I'm just trying to start an imaginary rap beef that doesn't exist. Worms. People, his fans really hate that we just said worm, that I just said worms over and over and over in that interview. They can't wrap their head around that. They're like, that's not perfect. That's not the kind of discussions that Stefan usually has. People don't usually say worms when they're talking to the master.
People don't usually say, you know,
don't worry, the worms are going to creep into their brains.
There's a book called If You Meet the Buddha in the Road, Kill Him, which basically means, like, don't have any heroes, you know, like, be your own hero because the Buddha's really in you. I say, if you meet the Buddha in the road, walk up to him and say, worms, 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 worms. And, you know, the picture that he used of me, and I'm honored that we did that thing, and I like it, and it's cool, but it's like, the picture that he used of me is like a 10-year-old picture off it's off my IMDb page, and it's like, it looks like I'm kind of reverentially looking up at the top of his head, the way he positioned it. I'm sure it's not intentional, but it's kind of funny.
Yeah, yeah.
So what do you have to say about Stefan Molyneux, Shane? and his fans and their worms.
His fans are definitely, I don't know, interesting.
Interesting. We'll
are you a fan? Do you often listen to Molyneux?
I have a few times. What he says, you know, about liberty and whatnot, but
I like what he says about liberty, and I kind of tune out when he talks about relationships. Not that he doesn't have some solid advice sometimes, but it was kind of disconcerting to me in interviewing him that all of a sudden he started kind of psychoanalyzing me. Like, we're having a discussion, and he's like, oh, when did this problem start with your parents? You know, and I'm like, where did that come from? And he does that a lot. But I guess
he is prone to do that. Yeah.
People call him to ask for advice, but I'll listen to him till the cows come home talking about the state. But I kind of, you know, start surfing the web and tuning out when he's talking about relationship stuff, because I don't know. I don't give advice. I don't like advice. I like experience, strength, and hope. And, you know, it's like, how can he give advice about BDSM if he's never practiced it? To me, it's kind of like that gun grabber lady who says, you know, who wanted to ban the barrel shroud, and someone asked her, what's a barrel shroud? And she's like, oh, I think it's the shoulder thing that goes up. Not that, wow, he wants to ban it, but he, you know, said there's something weird about it or indicative of abuse or whatever.
Right, but he didn't maintain the position. When you brought up that he might be a little bit biased about it and hasn't looked into it truly or deeply enough to really make the comments he was making, yeah, he sort of backed off and said, you're right. He sent me some stuff to read.
Yeah, I did. He's golden. I just think his fans are kind of silly sometimes, man. Your brain is the most precious matter in the universe. It's like, if someone said that about us, I'd be creeped out, man. I'd be like, okay, you don't get to call in for 4 more weeks or something. I don't know.
Shane, how do you feel about our brains?
It's the most precious matter in the universe.
you've been following my brain for much longer than the fiends there, Shane, haven't you?
Oh, yes.
Used to listen to a podcast I did with my wife. Now, what kind of... Describe that podcast.
Let's see. You guys had sex a lot.
Yep. on the podcast.
Yep, on the podcast. That was pretty interesting.
That would
But
break...
you had a lot of good things to say.
That would break...
I also followed Clone the Homeless when you did that podcast.
Yeah.
I'm not aware of that one. What was Clone the Homeless?
It was the non-sex version of the other podcast. It was kind of me finding my way to where I am now, I think.
Okay, okay. Coming of age.
It was talk. I had guests. It was like Anarchy Gumbo, but not as good.
All right. Good deal. Well, come and see us on the other side of the break, folks. Again, if you want to call in, that number is 307-215-5171.
Would you like to advertise your product or service?
Cool, Shane. Thanks for calling in, man. I'm going to go so other people can call in.
All right, Shane. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, we really do, man. It's good to finally talk to you. I don't think I've ever talked to you.
And I'll call you some nights.
Just by email.
All right.
Email me before you do, because this computer that has Skype on it is never on. I never have Skype on unless I'm expecting a call.
Or leave a message after the show at 765-27-FIENDS. Take control of your money today.
I'm going to take a pee pee break.
Okay, me too.
Young Austrians are now.
You prefer? You can sign up for our email updates at updates.
Yeah. Did you have any peeps or chocolate today?
Stay in the loop by joining our Facebook profile.
Chocolate today? No. No, I didn't. I had cinnamon rolls for breakfast. So sign up now. Some beer and a hot dog so far.
Delivered to your email box.
My wife made a really delicious looking banana cake though, so we're stoked about that.
On Free Talk Live, we talk
we
about
start back up
once
you give the number again.
As a hedge against inflation,
okay.
Investment, and barter hedge. Currency. We've teamed up with Midas Resources to offer you some great rates on some hand-picked gold and silver pieces. U.S. Eagles, British Sovereigns,
yeah.
20 Francs, Lakota Nation Silver Rounds, Montana Rat Silver
beef.
Reserves, and Walking Liberty Halves.
Pod beef.
Call 877-857-9938 or go to
they use the word beef in Adam 12.
The shipping is the same for one as it is for yeah. 20, so try to get
the cops
as much as you can.
But the cops try to sound
gold
hip
at freetalklive.com.
Mm-hmm. They don't do a good job.
While our satellite channel is free to
I'm
listen
trying to make
to,
the cops
it's
cool.
not free for us. You can help us cover yep. our satellite costs with the chip in on the right side of
they
the page.
They are not cool,
at
LRN. Man. Not
FM.
Cool.
Not cool, dude.
Cops are not
Freedom
cool.
Freedom Fiends live. Cops are not cool. If you agree or disagree, please call us at 307-215-5171. Yo.
So, any of the Fed goons or cops who are listening, please call in and justify your job to us.
That's a good idea. Yeah, why do I have to write a freaking check to the IRS this year to pay for you to spy on me? To pay for you to pull me over and write me tickets? To pay for you to make a bunch of rules and hoops I have to jump through if I want to start a business or make money? Why?
Yeah, call in and let us know. Fed goons. So
yeah, please
yeah.
enlighten me. Enlighten me. I'm very
always,
curious. To
always
know the
carry
reason.
Heat. Always carry heat and never talk
never
to
talk
police.
To police.
That's from Buddha Monk. You know, I was thinking Buddha Monk, that rapper, is probably the genesis of the name for the character Buddha Sack in King of the Hill, the hip hop driving school instructor voiced by Chris Rock.
Could be. If Chris Rock got to come up with the name himself,
he
see because. Because Mike Judge, if he came up with the name, he probably would have been coming from more of a Houston or a Texas hip-hop kind of
he's
thing.
From Austin.
Back,
he's from Austin.
Is he from Austin? Okay. But in Office Space, you know, it was like a great sampling of Ghetto Boys and yeah. Houston rap, gangsta rap music.
It was Ghetto Boys under a different name, wasn't it? I think they didn't do it under their name in there.
Maybe. No, they were Ghetto Boys songs. Maybe they were Scarface songs because Scarface was like sort of the best MC from the Ghetto Boys.
You know, last weekend there was a guy listening to us live on his cell phone streaming from a plane that was flying over Wyoming.
Nice. Well, was he using the Wi-Fi on the plane that they have now?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I asked him if
Fiends,
I should go out
Fiends
during
on
the
a
break.
Plane.
He and I were emailing during the show and I was like, should I go in my backyard and wave at you? So yet another person put our whole movie up on YouTube. Good for them. Good for them.
Nice.
Yep. There's people who don't even know who the Fiends are who are spreading the Fiends and think our brains yep. are the most precious object in the universe.
When really they're infected with worms.
Worms. If you meet the Buddha in the road, say worms to him.
I don't know, man. The Buddha's probably pretty hungry from his hunger strike or fasting or whatever. He might just get hungry. Worms? Where? Can I have some?
So the call-in number, if you'd like to talk to us and tell us anything, especially if you're law enforcement and want to justify your position to us, or anybody, call in at 307-215-5171. That's 307-215-5171, or Skype to the username kittyfeet1.
Here's what I want to know from law enforcement. When we follow in the footsteps of the fascist Italians now, just like FDR did with Mussolini, are you law enforcement folks out there going to be on board when America bans cash? Or as in Italy right now, they have this new system called Reddit Metro, which is a database that automatically analyzes your tax data versus your spending. So are you guys going to be in there in that new bunker they're building in Utah spying on me and saying, oh, well, he bought too many guns this year. How does he have that money? He's not reporting that income. We got to go raid him. We got to go drone
they're
him.
Gonna be, of course they're going to back it. They're going to back it while whistling the national anthem and saluting the flag and saying they're proud Americans, even though it's...
And it's because it pays their paycheck. Just like at my job, you know, I always make sure the customers are happy and well taken care of, and I'll do anything for them because they're the ones paying me.
You know what I forgot to mention? On that article about Italy outlawing cash and calling tax avoiders parasites, the ad that came up for me was a, like, re-elect Obama ad, and it had a photo of Obama doing like a fist bump in the hall of, I don't know, the White House or something with some brown dude, some worker. I think he was Mexican, And the guy had like rubber gloves on. I don't know if he was like a janitor or a TSA butt searcher, but Obama was doing a fist bump with him. Vote for our guy. He does fist bumps with brown guys who work for a living on the government teat.
Wow.
I think I'd want to have rubber gloves on to fist bump someone who does TSA work.
yeah. I don't know. I guess I don't understand. Are there still people out there that think Obama is cool in any way? Like he's the hip guy who's gonna.
Everybody
do cool
I know
things?
In San Francisco does. Everybody I know in San Francisco. I mean, you know, they hate.
Well,
Santorum.
They've overdosed on smelling their own farts.
They hate Santorum, but they also hate Ron Paul. They're like, oh, he's racist and he wants to reverse abortion and he wants to reverse women's rights and. Take away everyone's rights and everyone's free money that they earned by being alive.
By being alive. Yeah, free money they earned by voting for people who would steal that money to give it to them.
So speaking of people who want the world to owe them a living, there's a really good lefty anarchist video called There Is No Authority But Yourself about this band called Crass. Crass are great. You know, even though they're English lefty anarchists, they're really, really, really anarchist. And they were an influence on me and on Right Arm of Wyoming's music. And they're from like the late 70s, early 80s. I mean, they were like, you know, they would put out, they didn't just play in a band. They lived in a commune and they put out pamphlets. You know, they had like one pamphlet on how to make your own bread and another on how to make like petrol bombs. And,
could you make bread bombs if you mix the two recipes together?
And like when I was back in the punk rock days, like every third leather jacket at shows had the Crass logo on it, even though they never played in America, as far as I know. They did a like pre-internet worldwide media scam on Reagan and Thatcher that kind of like outed some heinous war secret WikiLeaks style.
Nice.
They made this audio collage where they took like speeches by Reagan and speeches by Thatcher and cut them up so it sounded like they were having a different conversation. And what it was they had a fan who was a British soldier who was involved in the Falkland Islands Argentinian war that lasted a little while. You remember that? Do you remember when England went to war with Argentina over the Falklands?
I remember like, reading about it when I was a grown-up and seeing like some documentary about it on the History Channel or something and just thinking to myself, really? How is that not just an obvious imperial silliness? I mean, Britain fighting over some remote islands that are in Argentinian waters? I don't understand why people stood for that, or the international community
the
stood
UK,
for something like that.
The UK did this false flag thing where they allowed one of their ships to be bombed. Basically, it was like Argentina was you know throwing bombs at them like radar guided bombs or something, and the UK was throwing up metallic flak, which you know they spray it out of a rocket over the ships and it confuses
it
the radar.
It confuses, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they of these four ships that they had, they only did it to three of the ships and didn't do it intentionally to one of the ships and allowed it to be bombed. And that was mentioned in this cut up conversation, and it got like. Outed, you know, it was like a WikiLeaks kind of outing to major media.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, good work on their part. So, yeah. So music was just one prong of their attack on the evils of the state.
Exactly. And they were, I would say, single-handedly in modern times, they have spread the idea of anarchism as a positive thing that people should be wanting to learn about and do. I think more than anybody, I think more than any of these theorists that write books. You know, I mean, they were pretty major, the band Crass. They sold so many records. And, you know, every record that was out there, there were 20 cassette copies that people made of it and shared with friends, too. So,
okay. Maybe with the caveat of for – as sort of a populist thing. I mean, I think on the intellectual front, that kind of title would go to somebody like Murray Rothbard or something, or Lou Rockwell.
Yeah, I don't know. That's the other kind of anarchy. These are the lefty anarchy. They have a song that has a line like the world owes me a living. You owe me money. You know, the government owes me money. I don't know how they call that anarchy, but you know,
can't really co-sign that.
Yeah. But you know, then there's the theory too of like the government takes and screws so much from everybody that there's really not that much of a moral problem in taking a little bit of it back.
The thing is, the government doesn't have any of its own money. So if you force the government to pay you back for the money that they stole, then they have to go steal it from somebody else.
Actually, Ben Quaker so that, addressed that.
So that just perpetuates the system.
I really like Ben Quaker's take on that. You know, he was talking about, like, you know, is it okay to get Social Security? Which I think it's okay because you paid into it. But his thing was, like, they're not going to go steal more because you take some free government money. They will always steal as much as they possibly can. They're not going to go steal more because a bunch of punk rockers say, I want a welfare check. Ain't it don't work that way.
Right. I completely understand that. So I'm not saying people should avoid driving on roads or avoid getting their Social Security check. But what I am saying is, don't feel like it's owed to you. Don't advocate for it, because that's how we get to the point where everybody's demanding entitlements and the government does have to steal more money.
I was watching this, we're almost out here for the first hour. I was watching this interview of Ron Paul in 2007 from The Daily Show, and he actually jokingly used the phrase, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you.
Isn't that awesome? I think I remember that. Yeah. And the audience probably didn't get the irony.
No. Worms.
Call us, yo. I know it's Easter. Put the megs down.
Yeah. We're going to get calls in the second
Why
hour.
Why did you
when everyone's
move to
like
the Shire?
I moved here to the Easter Shire because peeps. There's other people around who take liberty just...
On this, though, the Fiends fans got on here. Someone said, MWD freaking rocks. The man lives what he says. Weird, needed, and highly unusual. Someone else said, I very much enjoyed the bohemian nature of this interview.
Building a radio station is simple, but programming isn't. That's where LRN.FM
And we're talking about the Stefan Molyneux interview for anyone that's listening to this later. Things got weird quickly when the subject of BDSM came up.
Coming up next. After
of course, Molyneux would just say, you know you like it, Michael. You want to be punished, right?
Yeah,
you like those nasty comments.
Like,
you like it.
I felt like he was deflecting talking about something serious by making really dumb jokes that were like based on Hollywood movie perceptions of things.
That's kind of his thing, though. He always likes to make jokes, so I don't hold it against him.
Turkey recalled yeah. Does he ever do it to the people he's talking to on interviews, or are they always like mutually reverential?
On Friday, Homeland Security
granted temporary. So he like tells Lou Rockwell.
Sometimes he can get a bit controlling. There was some, I guess it wasn't another podcaster, but some guy who English wasn't his first language, and he. Molyneux really wanted to do this like role playing thing where the caller acted like a statist, and the guy was like not getting it, and Molyneux was like, please stay in character, I'm not going to tell you again.
But meeting President Barack Obama met with Turkish Prime Minister.
If you meet the Buddha in the road, tell him worms. Non-lethal
support. Again, no disrespect though, I really like Molyneux.
I'm going to comment worms on this comment of cut out the freaking worms. The
main you already have been.
I have been. I'm in on YouTube. Worms. Supply.
Yeah, I know.
Speaking on the side. Oh, you've seen them? Yeah, like there's like five of them where people are like, stop saying worms. And I'm like, worms.
It must give up its nuclear weapons.
I don't know, man. I think all the libertarian theorists need to pick up guns. Just to have them, not to use them. Just to have them.
Official agenda.
They're a beautiful thing.
Clearly on President Obama's mind. During his speech at a Seoul university on Monday,
I'm going to take a pee-pee break.
Do you have directly. Time? All right, go for it.
Hi, who's the caller? Who's calling in?
This is Lisa.
Lisa.
Anonymous.
And you're calling because?
I didn't get my Easter call from my son.
And your son is who?
Nima.
Hi, Nima. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Mom. Thanks
Hello,
for calling.
How are you?
I love you. I'm good.
The police overpowered. I love you. Yeah. First one to call. And actually, Knight wanted to talk on your show too.
Excellent. Lisa, okay. I think Lisa, I miss my mother. I think sometimes you should call in and yell at me for doing this show, and then I'll really feel like it's my mother. She'd hate it.
Okay, I will.
She's like, what are you doing? You're embarrassing your family. You're going to get in trouble. You should do what you're told. Do what the government tells you. Quit complaining.
That's not my mom.
No, that'd be my mom.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I think she'd be proud of you. You just don't know.
I know.
No, really. She may be.
What are you cooking up for Easter, Mama?
I'm not Mark cooking.
after peaceful.
Oh, is he making like a million pounds of ham? Thousands of
supporters into the streets of the Senegal. No, actually, barbecuing chicken and steak and sausage official, and from every kind of meat you think of.
Macky Sall leading with almost 65%. Yeah. In case you didn't know, Michael, Mark's like he cooks so much whenever he cooks. One Thanksgiving, he literally cooked 16 turkeys, and everybody who went to Thanksgiving got to go home with their own turkey.
Macky Sall got the backing of 12 opposition
candidates. Is everybody at Easter going to go home with their own whole chicken mama?
Georgia's Brittany region, South Ossetia, held elections Sunday.
Oh, just y'all? Since
November.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. We got a caller. Hey, caller. What's your name?
Hey, what's up? Anonymous Chilling. Mom.
Anonymous mom? Whose mom are you?
I'm Nima Vagadi's mom.
No, you're supposed to say yo mama.
Yo mama.
You didn't
mama.
Even do it right. That's right.
This is yo mama.
I said you could pretend to be my mama and like yell at me and tell me, why are you doing this? This is, you're embarrassing.
I think you just want to get spanked.
No, I don't. I'm the top, not the bottom. I mean, Stefan Molyneux thinks I'm the bottom. He was talking like he wanted to spank me, but no, I'm a top, not a bottom here.
Potato, potato, Michael.
You're going, Nima's going, Nima's blushing and going, la, 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 yes. la, I can't hear you. My co-host is talking about sex with my mother.
This is totally how I envisioned my life 5 years ago. Talking about kinky sex with Michael Dean and my mom.
Is it, or are you being sarcastic?
I'll let you decide.
That's what free people do.
Yep.
That's what free people do.
That's what free people do. There you go. See, my mama raised me right. See, all y'all fiends are like, why the hell is Nima so crazy and adamant about anarchism? It's because my mama raised me that way.
Yeah,
that's right. Isn't that right, Mama? I should write a book on how to raise anarchists.
There you go.
I like it.
There
you go.
Parenting book.
Yeah.
And I think I'm an anarchist because my mother raised me to follow authority, and I was rebelling. So it can work both ways.
That's true. Yeah.
Oh, you got Knight there?
Knight's here. He wanted to talk about freedom.
Put little brother on.
he wants freedom from school.
Don't we all? This is a family show, folks. So, yeah.
It's a family show.
It's a family show.
Okay, well, here is Knight. There you go.
Hello? Yo, Knight.
Knight, how you doing, bro?
Hey. I'm doing
good. What you want to talk about? You want to talk about freedom from school?
Yeah.
Tell me about it. Speak, brother.
Because school sucks. Especially my school.
Why? Why does your school suck so much?
Well, the teachers don't know how to teach.
What do they try to do? What makes you say that?
Well, I mean, like, whenever you ask a question, they like give you detention.
That doesn't sound right.
Can't even ask questions?
Nope.
Or is it certain types of questions? Like when you ask them questions that make them look ridiculous? Like is that when they want to give you detention, like, or is it just any question?
Any question, basically.
Wow. Really?
So nowadays it's just sit there and shut up. Yeah, that's a good question. How do they expect you to learn if you don't ask questions?
I don't know. I don't really learn there. I mean,
why aren't you homeschooling? You used to homeschool. Why aren't you doing that?
Well, my mom's working on her dissertation, so, and she has like an internship at some place.
Yeah, but you could just sit around and watch Khan Academy on a YouTube all day and learn more than you'd learn at school.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I told her that, but I don't think she trusts me.
You have my permission. Stop going to school and just sit home and watch YouTube.
I have your permission.
You have Nima's permission.
Yeah, you have
permission.
Uncle Mike's permission.
Nima's a family member. Get his permission.
Uncle Mike's permission.
Yeah. Go tell your mom that. Tell your mom that Nima and Michael say you should stay home and learn from the internet.
Yep.
You didn't tell her.
He's gonna.
She's sitting right here.
Tell her. Oh, could she hear us?
I have Uncle Mike's permission to sit at home and watch YouTube all day to learn.
See, the thing about Nico is he might get sidetracked and watch prank calls on YouTube all day.
Worms.
Yeah.
Worms. So you spreading the word worms there, Knight?
I have no idea what worms even means.
Instead
so.
Of say, instead of saying word, you say worms.
Oh. No, I haven't really been
Frank
saying
does it.
That.
Frank does it.
I know Frank does.
Worms.
See, that's not a way to get Knight to do something. Knight's trying to be his own
Frank
man.
Here right now.
Oh, we'll put Frank
Frank's
on.
There,
let's
too?
Let's get Frank on here. Get the whole family on.
We got a family affair right. going on.
Hey, Frank, they want to talk to you.
I'm going to have Frank on.
Fans?
Hey, Frank. How you doing? Did you get those microphones you ordered yet?
I'm supposed to get them Monday.
Okay, well, sometime this week I'll... let me know when you get them and we'll call you on the phone and walk you through setting them up. I'm going to have Frank on the Anarchy Gumbo sometime.
Yeah, you didn't tell me about getting no microphones. Why you keep me out of the loop, brother?
Because you never hit me up, fool.
Because I'm always online and Nima's like off having a life and crap like that.
Right. So,
true that, true that. What you going to do with your mics, though? All right, what's the question?
Well, yesterday I was eating dinner with my girlfriend. And she already knows I'm anarchist and for no government. And her sister were arguing with me that once you get rid of government, there's going to be somebody who's going to want to be a leader and somehow form a group and install a new government. And I didn't know how quite to argue with her on that. So I was wondering if you guys could talk about that a little.
Ah, yeah, that's one that comes up a lot. My whole thing is, it's a circular argument, right? So if you're saying that we can't get rid of a government because we're going to have a government eventually anyway, I mean, that just doesn't make any sense. So let's make sure we don't get rid of the government to avoid having a government is no argument at all.
Right.
I mean, that's like saying, let's make sure we get rid of the rapist because we're going to get raped. Or let's make sure we don't get rid of the person who's raping us because we might get raped.
Yeah.
Frank, your girlfriend's Russian, right?
Yeah, well, she's half Russian.
Is she from
speaks the language.
Oh, she didn't live in Russia?
She was born in Moscow, but she moved to Texas shortly after.
Ah, okay. I was going to say, someone that grew up in Russia, it'd probably be pretty easy to talk to them about why government's not good.
Her mom's a self-proclaimed socialist, and I told her socialism is wrong. It's just a distribution of wealth that the government steals.
What do people say when you say that to them? What's your experience?
When I say what to them?
When you say socialism is wrong, and they're like, no, it's right, because what do they say?
Well, you know, that topic hardly comes up, at least with me and my friends, because I don't know, it seems like my generation nowadays is more, you know, watching MTV and, you know, dealing with a bunch of other stupid shit. Excuse my language.
You guys just don't... I mean, it doesn't cross your mind. You don't care. It's just silliness to think about politics, right?
Well, no. I mean, we talk about a few things. You know, they love cannabis, and so I always talk about how, you know, cannabis should just be legal and there should be no regulation, but they always say that you're going to need taxation and regulation, and I'm just like, why? Why can't we just trade a plant and sell a plant voluntarily between...
Because then you're cheating the government out of the taxes that it rightfully deserves, apparently.
Because the government can't make money off of it.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
No.
And that's the other answer to the people who say, well, there would just be some other group that would create a government is, you know, you go back to Bad Quaker's argument about the state is what we need to be attacking. You know, we got to get rid of the mindset that there needs to be any kind of other person that tells you what to do. I mean, think about the way slavery got rid of. People just realized socially that it's wrong to own human beings. So if people can realize, if enough people can realize that it's wrong for one group of human beings to own the labor of another group of human beings and control what they do with their lives and their labor, then that's it. Then there's not nobody's going to allow somebody to come to power once that's the social norm.
Yeah. I mean, all government is just a... It's a gang of thieves, you know? And when people say we need, well, we can have a small government, well, gangs don't stay small. What's their main goal?
to recruit more people to
make
more money. And
saying it's okay to have a small government is like saying it's okay to get raped by somebody with a small penis. I mean,
or
either way, you're
getting
fucked.
To say not to get rid of the whole cancer, but just, you know, chop out part of the cancer.
Yep, that too. Worms. Exactly. See,
worm.
I love my family. Thanks y'all so much for calling in. I really like that. I love y'all. Tell mom I love her. Tell night I love him. Y'all have a happy Easter. Eat some eggs for me.
Cool. I appreciate Jeez. It, Freedom Fiend.
Man,
yep.
thanks for
Thank
calling
you,
in, man. Worms.
All right. I'm going to be listening.
Love it. All
right. Peace.
Tired of that same old government-free baklava from Mandrick? How about trying Stateless Sweets government-free fudge and caramel? Stateless
so
Sweets are made with real ingredients and prepared fresh for delivery
good.
To
you?
Your home.
Good.
Order them as a gift,
good.
Well-deserved decadent treat for yourself.
Good. After this, DJ and I are going
to
eat
event.
Some more peeps and watch
go
some more Adam 12.
StatelessSweets.com.
Right.
That's StatelessSweets.
We're going to go to an Easter dinner with some... Pork
I am so excited about Pork Fest this year.
Pork Fest? What's that?
Meat. And they're not voted in. It's just whoever likes you and says, well, I guess I'll delegate my stuff to such and such over there.
And
then you
also,
basically delegate your
There's
your
also
vote
monkeys.
To them.
Monkeys. They're intelligent monkeys that are considered citizens. That have all
well, they're
the
not even
that.
Like super intelligent. They're just regular monkeys who they technologically figured out a way to give them the power of speech.
Yeah, it's basically if you like, I think in this society, something like if you can use 100 or 150 words in speech, then you're considered a fully functioning member of society with all the rights.
Yeah.
And, yeah. But both these books by L. Neil Smith and Scott Beiser kind of describe a lib pair. A libertarian paradise. And you and I were wondering how, what did you say to me in the break? Something like, you
I was
know,
like,
I wouldn't
I'm
know what to do.
Contrarian. Yeah, I wouldn't know what to do, man. Like, so much of my life is spent arguing and yelling at the state and talking about how evil it is. The giant evil state didn't exist. What would I do with all my free time? I don't even
well,
know.
Well, I think that, what's your wife yelling? Is your wife yelling
what?
Something? Was that your
oh,
wife yelling
know.
Something? I think
Maybe.
She was yelling.
I got my gun ears on. I think, all I can hear is you.
I think she was answering your question of what you do.
What'd she say?
I don't know.
Wife, did you say something?
Yeah, spend time with your wife. Spend time with wife. If
oh,
the evil
she,
state...
she said spend my time with my wife.
There you go. There you go.
Okay. Touche. Yes.
Yeah. But,
so in lib pair, me and my wife would spend a lot more time together. There you go.
Well, first of all, you know, you'd probably still want to make media of some kind, but, you know, and you'd either be celebrating how great things are or else you'd be bitching about tiny minutia. Like, man, that one pot store charges $4 a pound for pot. How fucking tyrannical is that?
There you go. There you go. I'd be calling out some people on their BS.
Yeah.
Because there would it's not like there'd be a lack of BS.
There'd always be
another...
There'll
right.
always be people that want to push other people around too. You could complain about your neighbors, you know, instead
oh, yeah.
of the state, it'd be like local. But
yes, and I think that's an important distinction to make. Is people often say, "Well, you guys are just living in a fantasy world," you know. But we really don't think that everybody would all of a sudden become good and moral. We
no,
just
I think
if you took away the state, then there wouldn't be an outlet for all the people that
and
are
I think
immoral
if you
to go
away
in.
The,
and,
I think if you took away the state for a little while, there'd be a little more blood and violence because. You know, all the people that rob stores and Granny, when Granny's suddenly armed, you know, there'd be some bloodshed in the streets for a little while till the undesirables got weeded out of the equation, out of the species. You know, I mean, I have a theory that basically, yeah, I didn't come up with this, but I believe it, is that something like 6% of the species of humanity is sociopathic from birth. It's, you know, they're broken machines. They're born that way. They can't be fixed. And then there's other people that do bad things that probably can be fixed, but they're just doing what they learned. You know, I think that it could purify the race, man. But that sounds
scary. Well, there's
scary.
Also an interesting play between nature and nurture there. And, you know, not that Molyneux's beefing with you again on this, but he got interviewed by somebody who basically called him on that and saying, so are you saying that sociopaths or psychopathy wouldn't exist? And Molyneux says, well, I think there's people who are prone to it, But I think the nature part, you know, if they're abused as children, if they are inflicted on upon by the state and learn that violence is the way to solve things, it multiplies that by so much that they actually are more likely to act out and become the mass murderer or the rapist.
Yeah, and, you know, in my vision of LibPair, those people would get shot while committing a robbery. And I think Stefan would probably try to reason with them. I don't know. I don't know what he'd do. I can't speak for him, but he does a lot of reasoning where, you know, if someone broke into my house, I'd just whatever. But anyway, let's get away from the pod beef here. You know, a lot of statists would listen to our conversation where we're saying, yeah, I don't know what I'd do if everything was perfect and there was no state and we lived in a peaceful anarchy. I wouldn't know what to do with my time. I'm so used to yelling at the state. You know, that would confirm things to them. They'd basically say, yeah, you have oppositional defiant disorder and you just want to have a war. I don't want to have a war, man. I mean, I fear the state more than I fear anything because it has the most power to oppress me. I fear Obama more than I feared Osama. You know, I am more afraid of my city council than I am of brown people in Afghanistan with improvised explosives. You know, they can't hurt any Americans except that Americans go over there.
Yep.
100%. And I'm not even saying it like Americans, like Americans. I'm saying it like, you know, this geographical part of the world is only getting hurt because we're going over there. They don't really want to come here.
No.
If we leave them alone.
I don't think they do. If we left them alone, and, you know, they say as much, you know, Time Magazine and all these people go and write these cover articles, you know, right after 9/11. Why do they hate us with a giant question mark? Like it's just some giant mystery. When you can go back and listen to the words that they say. I mean, how hard is that?
No, you can't. If you go listen to them, you're a terrorist. You can't listen to
them. Is that it?
Yeah. If you go listen to a recording of Al-Awlaki or Bin Laden, if you are downloading stuff by them, you're a terrorist, man.
Fine. Read some good reporting on it. Good journalists have done good reporting on it and have done studies and figured out why they say they hate us. And so, it's not because we're free. It's because
to answer your question here in the next
them.
7 seconds, to answer your question, in LibPair, I think life would be really good because we'd be able to not be weighed down by the state and we could be working on better stuff. I think it'd be great. I wouldn't mind.
All right. I wouldn't mind either.
I don't live to fight. I fight to live. Ah, damn. Cut me
off. Since its formation in 1997,
stupid hard breaks.
Africa.
But it's pretty free think, like hippie fun way, which is kind of funny because me being in using it's been among other people after the trip, amendment thing or. You know, or you're not a Gretchen principal or whatnot. Like a lot of the hippie sort of airy fairy view on stuff is that there should be more government and new programs like anti-violence and what, you know. So it always winds up in a really interesting conversation whenever politics or freedom are talked about.
How do you talk to people who believe that? What do you say to them?
I don't know. You know, it's funny, man. Sometimes I don't know what to say to them. I usually direct them to your podcast.
Nice.
And I think I sent you a Facebook message once that, you know, my new favorite thing was to drive back and forth from town to, like, where my little shop is. And you know, have the theme playing and just look at the faces of the people.
Oh, you pick up hitchhikers, right? You're the guy that picks up hitchhikers and makes them listen to the fiends. Or
that's
lets
awesome.
Them listen to fiends.
It's an absolute riot.
One of the only examples of the hitchhiker thinking that you're the crazy one instead of vice versa.
Oh yeah, it's great. And you know, yesterday I actually had an awesome one. I was heading into town and I picked up a couple of people, and the woman who was in the car, you know, we kind of pulled up to where we were going, and she's like, oh, that's the second time a week I had, you know, my head blown up off the information. I'm like, oh yeah, it was the other time. And she's like, oh, that so we're actually infinite beings and we're supposed to live forever and there's an ant intercepting our DNA.
Was that Scientology or what was that?
I
wow.
have no idea.
It was a Stefan Molyneux podcast. I'm kidding.
It's kind of...
That's
great. I gotta say, man, it's funny. I found out about him on a motorcycle trip last year. I was in Casper.
Really?
And ran into, what's that cat's name? Shane Sheed, is that right?
Shane yeah. Sheed, yeah.
yeah.
Good friend.
Yeah.
He's been to
ran
my house.
Ran into him at the Casper Inn, and and actually thought that you, Michael, were him for a minute.
Really?
Because I couldn't remember his name. But yeah, we hung out for a while, you know, talked. He told me about the Guns and Weed movie. I just thought it was great.
Was that when we were still making it or after it came out?
I think it had came out, but it was like the first release or something, and it, like the second release was going to come out soon.
Okay.
Because I remember, like, as soon as I heard about the first, you know, the second release coming out is kind of when I jumped on it. And I was still on the road for, like, another month, so I didn't really have a chance to, you know, to order it from the road. I mean, I could have, but I didn't. And, yeah, man, it's great. I try to brainwash everyone who comes to my house with
the
thing.
You should get a stack of blank DVDs for, like, you know, order them bulk online for, like, a nickel each or something, or how much, 10 cents each, and burn a bunch of copies of that movie and hand them out to the hitchhikers after when they're getting out of the car.
You know, I should, man. I should, because I'm back and forth. I kind of have this stretch that I drive every day, and I'm usually doing it, like, 3 or 4 times a day. And, yeah, you're totally right. I definitely should. And I probably have that 300 unburned DVDs on my desk.
My image of Hawaii comes from seeing Dog the Bounty Hunter, and it makes it look like the whole place is just a bunch of homeless, violent meth addicts. But you know, that's if you ask a cop what a place is like, that's what it's going to look like to a cop. And you know, it's like if you ask a barber if you need a haircut, he's going to say yeah.
You know, right, what I've always been curious about is
Maui's pretty awesome, man. I kind of dig it.
Man, I've always been curious about how do the natives in Hawaii feel about the government? Do they have some sort of anti-government lean to them?
Are
they like, you know, they do? And what do they usually say?
They do. Hawaii sovereign nation movement, which I've actually been invited to go to one of the meetings, and I haven't gone for slightly because of fear.
Yeah.
It's typically, you know, local families and, you know, people who really have a stake in sort of taking their land back. But I do have some wife.
We're losing you. Are you there?
Oh, can you hear me still?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. So there's a Hawaii sovereign nation movement that's going on, and they have meetings, you know, once or twice a week. And, you know, they're just sort of trying to secede from the government. I've been wanting to go to one of the meetings, but I haven't gone.
I guess that 5 to 10% of the people at those meetings are probably from the government.
You know, it's possible. It's definitely possible.
Well, is there still a big military presence there? I mean, are there a lot of American workers that, like, work at a naval base and stuff like that? Is there a lot of that
there
over there?
There is on Oahu. Oahu has, which is kind of the, you know, the most populated island, has quite a few military bases. And there's definitely a huge military presence there. Out here on Maui, there's not. There's really not a military presence here really at all. So that's kind of, you know, that's kind of cool. Because it's definitely prevalent on Oahu. I lived over there for a couple of years, and you know, you really couldn't go anywhere without bumping into somebody that was, you know, that was military.
Hmm. Well, cool. So you came up with something that goes with our saying worms instead of word. What is it?
I say knives instead of nice.
Knives. I love it.
Knives.
I love it.
Knives.
Knives. That sounds sinister, man. I like it. Knives.
It is a little sinister, but it's kind of funny, too. You know?
Yeah.
I've got some interesting info I just want to share real quick, and then I'll let you guys get on with it. You know, I haven't had a concealed weapons permit since I've been in Hawaii, which has been 8 years. I used to live in Maine, and I had a concealed weapons permit there, and, you know, not a big deal. And here in Hawaii, they issue concealed weapons permits, but it's per the chief of police actually signing off on it, and apparently they never issue. However, there was 250, I believe, permits issued last year for private security or, like, armored truck drivers and things of that nature. But as far as a citizen being able to exhibit their Second Amendment right, apparently it's quite a hoop to jump through, but it just sort of never happens. So I did make a phone call to the police station recently to see what the hoops I had to jump through were, and the woman on the other end of the phone was immediately trying to discourage me from doing so, basically telling me that there was really no way they were going to issue.
Really?
And then I was more my time, yeah. Which was kind of
Yeah. Yeah, that's a bit ridiculous, man. They were trying to discourage you on the phone from it.
They want you to work for the state or be some kind of status thing if you're going to have a gun. You know, like,
that's right.
Protect the king's money.
See, exactly. And on the topic of guns, I thought that there was some sort of tourism going on as well from citizens of Japan going to Hawaii to shoot guns and have 22s. A good old time of it. Does that happen?
I guess it does happen. There is a shooting range in Honolulu, Oahu, that, from what I understand, has weapons that you can shoot. Never been, but I don't know of any Japanese tourists coming out just to do that. I suppose there might be a few, but the only way I can really go shooting right now is to go to the shooting range, and I try to frequent that just because it's a blast, and it sort of brings me back to when I was a hillbilly living in Maine, you know?
Yeah. Wow, those are sort of polar opposites, Maine and Hawaii, it sounds like.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
Do they have concealed harpoon really permits?
Say again?
We're going into a commercial.
They have harpoon permits?
We're going into a commercial here, y'all.
just a silly joke. All right. Thanks so much for calling in, Joe. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I can't wait to listen again. And it's funny, man, how much I actually listen to your podcast. It's funny as hell.
Nice.
It's awesome, man. We appreciate
Knives.
It. Knives.
Yeah.
All right, worms. I'll talk to you guys.
Knives.
All right.
Bye.
Man. Whenever we go outdoors this time of year, we always get ticks.
I don't go outdoors, so I don't get ticks.
Oh. Yeah, we spent all morning. Oh, man, I got to check the dog now. There's a tick on the desk, wife. We got to check the dog.
Yeah, I'm sure the whole world wants to know about Nima's ticks. Nima has bugs. Ticks, man. You got cooties, Nima.
I got cooties. We got to get rid of the polyticks, the homoparasitis. That's the only reason I brought it up, man.
Yeah.
I brought it up.
You got blood suckers in your house, not just in Washington, and in Washington, because you live in Washington. Is there
get away from
you know? Them. There's a town called Washington in every state in America except the state of Washington.
Huh? Oh, I didn't know that, but yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, they just wanted to make everyone sound like DC, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. I like how we can tie that back to the probability brooch we were talking about. George Washington's the villain because he goes to pursue the Whiskey Rebellion.
Yeah.
And then some other guy that I don't know if he existed in real life rouses up all the farmers to attack Washington and stop them from persecuting the people and taxing them for their whiskey. And that's where freedom, real freedom starts.
Well, I've always said that America was only America for the first shot of the Revolutionary War, 1775, until the Whiskey Rebellion, which is what, like 12 years, 18 years later? Yeah.
You could also argue it was until the Constitution was signed, since the Constitution was so much more statist and centralized than the Articles of Confederation.
I got a new saying these days is, I really liked the Founding Fathers until they went and started a government.
Until they did some founding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I liked the Revolutionary War. I think it was the only just war Americans ever fought.
I don't know. I need to do some more research on it, but... Weren't there atrocities just like any other war? Couldn't it have been handled differently? I don't know. Maybe I need to do some more research on it.
Maybe you should have been there to do some central planning, Nima.
Maybe.
General Vidati.
Yeah. I used to, when I was a kid, I was big into military stuff, and I used to fantasize about being some kind of general mucky muck, and I'd play video games that... There was this game I played called The Third World War, where you got to pick an actual country from, and it was based on like early 90s history. Like you could be Iraq and invade Kuwait again, or invade Israel, or you could be Canada take over the Americas. I loved it, man.
My tyrannical dreams
too, because if
my tyrannical dreams as a kid were not me running armies, it was more like me running a cult with like 50 women attending to all my needs.
Right. Well, and being heavily armed. I feel like it taught me about geopolitics and geography, and also it's really deep, this game. You guys should check it out. If you have a Sega CD laying around, maybe buy it on eBay.
I don't even know what that
is,
man.
If somebody does, somebody out there my age might. And it was so deep that if you start too many wars, then first of all, you start getting less people volunteering for the military. So then you have to pay the media to put out commercials about how great the military is.
Really?
And then you can get more troops.
That sounds about right.
It was.
That's funny.
That's yeah, it was a lot of fun.
That's racist.
That's racist.
Well, the military is kind of racist because, you know, a lot more disproportionate number of blacks and Hispanics go into the war than whites because of the poverty draft.
Not only that, but then they put these commercials on where they have all these Hispanics and blacks, you know, they're helicopter mechanics, and they sort of follow the same sort of narrative structure as the ads for like ITT Tech and stuff like that.
They're working in the gas station of the Army.
Yeah. I can be a productive member of society now. The being a military warmonger erased my blackness. Thumbs up.
Yeah, but they still have a little blackness in the ITT Tech commercials. Like, you know, they work this kind of square job wearing a tie, so in the evening they can go out with their sexy plump wife and dance to some jazz in a jazz club.
Is that how those commercials work? I don't know,
yep.
Man.
I watch them. DJ and I love them. We laugh at them. Yeah, it's really funny. ITT Tech, man, I look at those commercials and I go like, man, that's the school where you go to learn to do square crap with computers, whereas like I sit around and like touch the world in special places in four dimensions and like, you know, enter the molecule of the world through the computer. And I taught myself.
Yeah. Well,
whereas, you know, ITT Tech teaches you to like do Windows network administration at a medium sized corporation.
Right. Well, the thing about all those places like that, I mean, they're basically, I don't know if I want to say they're bubble industries, but they feed off the fact that education is subsidized. Yeah. So that's their business
model. We did a whole podcast on this because we were talking about that show. That documentary called College Inc. Yeah, I think it was episode like 458 of the Freedom Fiends Wednesday shows or something.
I don't think we have that many episodes.
Dude, we've been doing this for a year.
And we're still longer around. Than
we
a
did,
year, man.
We did not pod fade. Knives.
Not pod fade.
Knives.
Very knives. Very,
my child, my, I'm sorry, officer. My son has been reading too many underground newspapers.
Been listening to too many podcasts. Fiends. What's a fiend?
Speaking of Stefan Molyneux, I really love this. Did you ever read the BBC article where they said he was a cult leader? It's friggin' ridiculous. And it was like, it was about this 18-year-old kid in Britain who like left home at 18, which is, you know, perfectly reasonable, and left.
What
you know,
you do?
Didn't say goodbye to his mother because he didn't like his mother. Just left a note like, "I'm leaving, mother." And then she gave this interview to the BBC. Like, yes, he was a nice boy until he got involved in listening to these podcasts. And I'd walk by his room and just hear this voice coming out of it. And she was talking about Molyneux. And it was funny. I didn't know it was BBC at first. I was like, "That's weird." She didn't say it was a British voice. Oh wait, this is in Britain. Okay, this voice was indoctrinating my son. We want to indoctrinate your children. As soon as they're 18, we don't want to speak to minors.
We want to persuade them. Got to get away from that statist wording.
We don't want to speak to minors. Sarcastic. Your little brother will speak to the minors for us.
There you go. Yeah, that's what he's there for.
Yes, you must be 18.
He's our fiend's plant for the young kids.
He is. That's why he's in school, so he can. I don't know. He's going to get trouble in school if he talks fiend talk, man. If he walks around going knives, they'll send him to a shrink. Yeah. Nice.
It will. Well, see, they'll try to force him on meds, and my mom will be like,
I know.
He ain't taking no Ritalin.
I know.
Wait till he's in college, and he can buy it on the black market.
Worms.
My wife's on her third change of clothes here.
Oh, she's modeling?
For Easter party.
She bored? She modeling?
Yeah. She's flipping me off.
Are you going to an Easter party?
I wouldn't call it a party. It's more of an Easter dinner. We're going to go enjoy. Soiree.
I like in that LibPair graphic novel we were talking about how the enemies are the Hamiltonians.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Well, you know, for some reason. Oh, hold on. Wife's trying to dress me now. No, the Hamiltonians. So just like in real life, you know, when Hamilton was like, well, we got to have a state. You know, Hamilton wanted to have a central bank. He wanted to have a big national debt and have the banks be sort of the anchor of the economy. And
that's so square.
In probability broach, the Hamiltonians don't go away once freedom's achieved. There are still people in society, and they're the contrarians, though, in the alternate universe. They're the ones who have underground meetings and want to change the world.
Want
change the world
statism.
To the more statism.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And I think the quote that the leader of the Hamiltonians says is something to the effect of, we believe that the ultimate morality is having the individual defer to the needs of the collective. Or I'm paraphrasing, yeah. But something to that effect.
That sounds like Hillary Clinton, man.
Totally sounds like Hillary Clinton. It also sounds like these Italians who are getting tax raided. Like we were saying at the beginning of the class, there was a restaurant. The class?
Did you call this the class? You didn't say the cast. You said at the beginning of the class.
Fine. It's a class.
It's a teaching hospital.
Can you imagine the IRS going into a restaurant and checking everybody's taxes?
Yes. I mean, they do it behind the scenes now anyway, man. If you're spending a lot of money on your credit card, buying things that they think you can't afford, they'll audit you.
All right. Fair enough. But see, and maybe I'm being too optimistic here, but I feel like if it happened here, the man on the street interviews in the story would be very like, what the F is going on? I can't believe this. This is ridiculous. Here,
people already hate taxes and they're like, but what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Nobody likes paying taxes.
But see, here, the interview with the lady who owns the restaurant here in the New York Times story, she says this. She says that tax invaders are no longer an example to follow, but an intolerable burden and a threat to collectivity. Oh, no, sorry. That was actually the statist, the commander-in-chief of the finance police.
You're talking about tax avoiders, not invaders. Did you say invaders?
I said evaders.
Evaders, like, okay.
Email. Yeah. No, the restaurant owner says that I think what they are doing is right. We all have to pay taxes. Again, deferring to the collective. Saying that the officers were very polite as they stole all our money. Obviously, she didn't say that last part, but she did say they were very polite. Well, I don't care how polite you are when you're stealing my money. F you.
Well, thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends Live, another fun episode, and I think we're almost out here. So, knives.
Peace.
Worms.
We got to think of something instead of peace, like worms. Speech.
Speed.
Speed. Peace. I don't know. We're mutilating the language.
We really are.
If you're looking
work, we're out.
You know what I mean. All right, man. That was a fun one. Speech.
All right. That was a lot of fun. I'm going to go get the ticks off my dog and get ready for Easter.
All right. Have a good day, man.
All right, man. Peace.
Knives.
Effective communications. Nice.